future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name's Charles Story. I'll be hosting the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. And I think the best way to kick it off today is go through the levels real quick. Bitcoin is currently trading at $6,554, down 0.25%. Ethereum is currently trading at $227, down 0.5%. We have Ripple currently trading at 55 cents, down 1%. Bitcoin Cash currently trading at $552, that's up 1%. And EOS currently trading at $5.62, that's down 0.25% as well in the last 24 hours. I want to give a big shout out to Cortex, which is currently trading at 40 cents. That's up 23% in the last 24 hours, outperforming the market, which is great to see. So let's talk about the market. It's currently, the market cap for the crypto space is currently $220 billion. Bitcoin's dominance of that is 51.5%, which is great. We're seeing strong levels in Bitcoin dominance, not the highest we've seen this year, but we're still seeing it's above the 50% mark. And it's interesting, when market cap moves up, we see that figure come down. We see the altcoins rising up and bringing that market cap back to those figures, the big figures that we all love to see. And remember as well, this is not financial or trading advice. This is just our in-house view and what we're currently seeing in the market at this current point in time. So with that in mind, let's find out what's happening, what's going on in the market, what's making the market move. What are the positive stories out there? What are the negative stories? What is making this market? What are people reading? What are people seeing? What are people talking about? Let's find out and let's get down to business. So one of the big stories I've picked up today is that CoinSquare is in agreement with leading Canadian bank. So Canadian crypto exchange CoinSquare has managed to secure a partnership agreement with one of Canada's leading banks. The deal will help the trading platform streamline the process of depositing and withdrawing funds for its users. According to a press release, the relationship with a Big Five Canadian bank, which has not been identified as of yet, and they will serve as the foundation for the firm's growth. And on top of that, the Ontario-based company has previously announced plans to expand its operations in Europe by the end of this year and launch an exchange in Japan. CoinSquare CEO Cole Diamond described the agreement as a tremendous boost, not only for CoinSquare, but for the entire Canadian cryptocurrency industry. Quoted by PRN Wire, he said, "The announcement is one of many examples of how institutional third-grade partners put the faith in our approach to the cryptocurrency business. We are thrilled to be part and to start a relationship with a major Canadian bank, and we're excited for what it means for our users and for the future of CoinSquare." So the announcement comes after CoinSquare recently completed a third-party audit, and that basically helped them conclude that its financial statements are free from material misinformation, according to its chief financial officer, Ken Tsang. Both developments are part of the efforts of the Canadian crypto company to be regarded as a trusted cryptocurrency trading platform. By the way, they've done an amazing job of working with a top five bank in Canada that gives them the ability to have great banking relationships, but so many exchanges out there are struggling to have and struggling to get. So that already puts them at a position of strength. And also, as they said, like, it, people can trust them. Because they're working with a top five bank, people will trust that, people will let their capital flow to there. And also it helps with other people such as family offices, high net worths, funds looking to get into the space. And this encourages people, makes people feel more comfortable that their banks aren't going to a different account in the Cayman Islands, which has no affiliation to the exchange and is an account under a completely different name. I'm not going to mention any names, but a lot of accounts are like that out there, especially for big exchanges. So I think this is great, not only for the space, not only for the company, but also for the consumer as well. So let's talk mining. There's a lot of news on mining. So Quebec elections said to determine the future of mining. So Bitcoin is in a way detached from traditional politics. That doesn't seem like the case in Quebec anyway, because soldiering on regardless of political developments here and there. However, it's been claimed by mainstream media that one particular election is likely to affect it, at least on a regional scale and in one particular aspect, mining. The case concerns the recent parliamentary vote in the French-Canadian province of Quebec. The general elections are the province first since tensions arose earlier this year over electricity allocation for Bitcoin mining. Forbes wrote in an article devoted to the subject, the increased demand from crypto miners this year forced the provincial government, headed by Parti Liberal du Québec, to order the state-controlled electric utility Hydro-Québec to restrict the supply and introduce higher tariffs for miners, the outlet notes. So according to preliminary results quoted by Canadian media, Monday's election has been won by the centre-right pro-business party coalition Avenir Québec, the CAQ, which will have a majority in the provincial legislature and form the new government. And while neither the outgoing Liberals nor the winners have so far adopted an official stance on Bitcoin mining, representatives of the nascent industry claim CAQ has demonstrated some support for the miners in the distribution of energy, which is a massive thing for these guys in Quebec. So the coalition leader, François Legault, has previously indicated his intention to make Hydro-Québec more profitable by fulfilling its potential. The utility company is one of the largest hydropower producers in the world. I mean, that's great. I mean, why wouldn't they want to increase hydro ability? Why wouldn't they want to increase business in the small province of Quebec? Why wouldn't they want to encourage that? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, I understand if you only have, let's say, a certain amount of electricity and that was it, but they can increase operations, they can increase production, and they can increase as a country. And I love that, man. I love growing. I love the idea of growth. And that's something that I think miners will be able to help the province of Quebec. And it's interesting how much power they actually have over there in regards to actually swaying political parties their way and getting the majority of votes as well. So that's huge for the miners out there. And I guess it's, in another way as well, because it's such big news, that you probably will find a lot more miners will go over there if they're miner friendly and they have cheap electricity rates, especially in other cases where countries aren't so miner friendly and they've had to battle with authorities over electricity and they have to lie about what they actually do. Then they have to shut down operation in a certain time period once the authorities find out what they're really up to. So I guess it's like a massive nightmare. It's also high operational costs as well. So Quebec, if I was a miner, looks pretty interesting right now. Wow, we're going through the stories like wildfire today. So let's go to the next one. Google's ban of obfuscate code from web store extensions likely to affect crypto jackers. This is pretty interesting, by the way. So Google's new restrictions on Chrome web store extensions introduced yesterday are likely to affect crypto jackers. In a blog post, Google confirmed that as of now, Chrome extensions submitted to the web store would not be allowed if they contain obfuscated code. So aside from the security implementations of obfuscated code, which the post describes as mainly used to conceal code functionality, adds a great deal of complexity in the process of reviewing extensions for approval. So cryptojackers rely on the clandestine insertion of malicious hardware and malware into scripts, allowing them to mine for cryptocurrencies without those being hacked noticing. So in May, cybersecurity firm Radware reported on several crypto mining malware Chrome extensions that had injected a short obfuscated malicious script. And for those wondering what obfuscated means, and to be perfectly honest, I had no idea before I was showing this story. It is this is the definition of obfuscate: make obscure, unclear, and unintelligible, right? So they're trying to make it really complex so no one else knows what's going on. And they do this in order to bypass Google's extension validation checks. So existing extensions with obfuscated code can continue to submit updates over the next 90 days, but will be removed from the Chrome Web Store in early January if not compliant. So Google's October 1st post reads the following. Today, over 70% of malicious and policy violating extensions that we block from Chrome Web Store contain obfuscated code. So while not making specific references to any form of extension in particular, Google's decision comes as reports of use of this within the app's extensions and more to mine cryptocurrency surface with increasingly regularity. So as previously reported by different media sources out there, 2018 has seen an almost 500% rise in reports of cryptocurrency mining malware. Obfuscation techniques comes also with hefty performance costs such as slower performance and also slower execution, increased file memory and footprints Google added. So it's interesting, there's been many different stories out there of like high profile websites, I think Showtime was one of them as well, whereby viewers of the website were basically implanted with some of these Chrome extensions, and from there that their computers were being used to mine cryptocurrency without their knowledge, which is insane. It's crazy how that happens. To be honest, I think that a lot of the people out there that had, like, a lot of people just actively still have their computers mining, but you must notice it slow down, like, massively. You must think, like, hey, well, like, wait a second, like, my internet's not that bad. Like, why is it taking, like, 5 minutes to load up a website? I mean, that's how slow this will take your computer. And I wonder, like, is it an easy process to really fix as well? I mean, that's kind of interesting. And by the way, how much can they actually mine? Like, I wonder what the performance fee is on that. But I guess, once again, they're not paying for the electricity that the computer's running on. So anything that's kind of, anything that someone's mining is pure profit in a sense. But it's interesting to see why they can't track that as well. We should probably get someone on the show to kind of tell us more about this obfuscated code and what's going on and what the story is, the inside scoop. I got a report on this one. This story has been kind of passed around a little bit, but Huobi on alleged EOS mutual voting scandal. So no financial contracts involved. So Chinese cryptocurrency exchange Huobi has responded to accusations recently made. It has colluded with EOS on mutual voting practices. And they came out today. So this is what they're saying. In a brief statement, the exchange said an investigation into the allegations, which media sources published, are still ongoing. So based on the initial investigation, there were no financial contracts involved between Huobi and any third party, the statement reads. The investigation is still ongoing, and therefore we seek your patience, cooperation in the matter. So basically, here's the deal. So on Monday, Block One, the parent company of the EOS platform, or the EOS protocol, has issued a statement of its own saying it was aware several parties have leveled accusations of voting process manipulation at certain participants. Block One called the claims unverified. So they said, we believe it's important to ensure a free and democratic election process within EOS and may, as we deem appropriate, vote with other holders to reinforce the integrity of this process, the statement read. So, I mean, here's the deal. So basically, Huobi, as an exchange, holds a lot of EOS, and they hold it for their clients, hold it for themselves, whatever it may be. And to become a block producer, you need a certain amount of votes. So what they've been doing is that, by the way, they are their own block producer, but they've been using the spare EOS in the exchange to vote for other block producers and basically get a kickback from that. And the community's found out and they're not happy whatsoever. So they're getting investigated to see what the actual deal was, because they're not really admitting the real situation on their hands. But it'll be interesting to see how this really pans out. But someone in the community basically noticed and caused attention to be dealt to the situation, which is what they should have done, and they were right in doing so. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next, because if an exchange holds a lot of EOS, they have the power to do that. They have the power to basically vote on block producers, especially if you're not voting with your own EOS out there. And by the way, everyone should be voting on a block producer if you're holding EOS. That's just something you should do as a token holder and as part of the EOS community. But it'll be interesting to see where this goes. With that in mind, I'm going to wrap things up right now. That's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention. As always, that's what we appreciate, your time and your attention. That doesn't matter if you're out walking the dog, if you're on your commute to work, you'll drive back from work, in the gym. I love going to the gym, pumping iron, man, feeling jacked up for the day. Whether you're listening to this at midnight or whether you're listening to 6 a.m. in the morning, we hope that this delivers some value to you. I hope you get something out of it. And if you do, feel free to write a nice review to give us some feedback on the situation. And the best way to do that as well for feedback is to hit us up on our Telegram, which is SVK Crowd. S for sugar, V for Victor, K for kilo, crowd, C-R-O-W-D. If you type that into Telegram, you will find us. I'm active on there. My Telegram is at Charles, and you can find me. I'm very active in the group. You can find the rest of the SVK crypto team there as well. And follow us on Twitter. We post some really cool pictures up on the minute. So that is at SVK_crypto. And if you're on your game, you want to show us anything, if you have any deals, any projects you would like to bring forth and you would like our attention on, you can email myself, cstory at svkcrypto.com, which is CSTORY@svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you for your time and attention, as always.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto Podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.